kind of nice to have your son-in-law pray for you. Appreciate that, Tommy. Yeah, I told him I would come down and help him out this week, so it's good to be here. I really enjoyed being here this morning, and it's good to see my friends in the back row there, and always good to see them, and all of you. I really enjoyed the Sunday school, and it was very interesting. Brought back a lot of memories when I was growing up, and about Old Testament sacrifices. Okay, I'm thinking about this morning. I noticed that probably over half of the people in here are little guys, are little children. So I felt, you know, it kind of goes with my message this morning. We don't want to forget God, you know. We don't want to forget God. That's one thing that we don't want to do, people in America, in our homes, is remember who God is. So I thought maybe we'll have the children come up here right in the front, and we'll sing a song or just talk with the children for a little bit here. Just stand right up here and face Mom and Dad. Will you do that? Very good. Wow, look at that. That'll make Mom and Dad nervous. They're afraid their hair is messed up or their shoes untied or something, you know. Just relax. Because the Bible says, remember when disciples, they didn't want Jesus to mess around with the little children. You know, the wives were bringing their little children to him, and they wanted to bring him, and they said, stay back, you know, he don't have time for the little children. And I always enjoy that when Jesus said, unless you become as one of these little ones, you'll never enter the kingdom. So they're very important in the church, as the children. Is that all? Look at that. Okay. Are you all guys all ready for Christmas, are you? All right. You excited about it? Yeah, that's fun. I always figured Christmas is for little children. So, something I haven't done for a while. I'm going to ask Jolene to come up and lead them in a couple of songs. I used to do that off and on, and I went for meetings. If she was there, I'd call her out of the group. And by the way, do you know who this girl is right here? That's my daughter. Did you know that? Yeah, Jolene is my daughter. She was like a little girl one time. Maybe like that little one had yellow curly hair. She was that little one time or not. You believe it or not? Yep. That was me. She'd go behind the pulpit, she's hard to keep track of. Okay. We're going to sing. Jolene's going to lead in a couple of songs. The first one I request, and you can have the next one. But this little light of mine. Read that. I'd like to have the parents help, if you would. Okay. Get your hands out of your pockets and help along a little bit. All right. Show them a hand. Okay. Okay, you may go back to your parents. Hope you have a good Christmas, okay? See ya. Yeah, you're a blessed church. You have a lot of children here. I want to turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy. That's in the Old Testament, about chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We had Old Testament in Sunday school, and I guess we'll continue on for a little bit, but I want to finish up then in the book of Hebrews. This chapter here has always been dear to me. This basically, I think we kind of relate to this a little bit on our day, on the 21st century. And the children of Israel, we could put our name in there. We could say, well, the children of Mennonites or Baptists or Amish or Methodists or whatever you want. But these were God's chosen people. And I'm not going to read the first verse. I'm going to start in about verse 4. And I think the importance of it is, what he was telling this, that there are so many things in our country today that are coming probably into our lives that we deal with. By the way, you know, at my age, I've seen a lot of changes. And some of you have too. You've seen a lot of changes in your lifetime. I'm just start reading here and I'll make a few comments as I go down through. Here it says in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel," put your name in there if you want, "the Lord our God is one Lord." And before I go any further, I'd just like to, for many years, you know, and I think that's what happened here in the Old Testament. There were so many different gods, you know, that the people were making. They made images. They made different gods in their life. And when Moses wrote this to the Deuteronomy people here, he said there is one God, one Lord. Our God is one Lord. And here they would pray to this God over here, the heathen people, and then they pray to this God, and they say, well, the miracle happened from this one. This God is greater. And I think it still happens in our country that people are trying to figure out, you know, who is the greatest? Who is the greatest God? And here he made it very clear. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. In verse 5 it says, and you should teach that. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Not to think, you know, when we do that as God's people. We love him this much because Christmas is about love. You know, now I had a new experience last week. Some of the people at Fair Play, they feed the prisoners in McCormick. And I was there a year ago in February to have, with the crusade, I was down here for that. We weren't living here then, but I come down to be with the crusade here. So I was there before. So our son Scott, he cooks the meat for it. And I was there twice with him, feeding the prisoners. And that really blessed me. You know, I've learned about love. I learned about happy faces, you know, when you just give a little bit. They come through there and they thanked us over and over again. And I seen people there from Whispering Pines. And I seen people there from Cold Springs. And there's just a lot of good things are happening around Christmas time right in this area. And it's all over the world, I suppose, you know, as far as that goes. But I was blessed to see some of that. And I was part of it. I was just a little part. I didn't really do anything. I helped serve a little bit, but not much. But it's just to be there, to see those things happen. It brought out this love that shined through in the praise team, like the brothers shared. It shined through us. We're a reflection of who we really believe in and who we serve. And here it says how much we should love God. We should do it with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might. And I believe, folks, it's good to get tired for Jesus. I really do. It's to work for him, to do good to other people because of what he's done for us. And that we're a reflection. In verse 6 it says, and these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. Notice that. Keep a hold of that verse. They shall be in thine heart. And it's so easy to get away from God's love. It's so easy to get away that the world system has a way to attract us, to get us away from God. In verse 7 it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. All these little children that you saw up here this morning, they were standing in the front. They're wide open. They're wide open. Their hearts are open. Their minds are open. They're waiting for something to fill it. And it says, the Bible says that you should fill them. With what? It says you should teach them. Verse 7, it says, teach them diligently. I mean, put effort forth. Be careful what you teach them. It says you teach all those things to thy children. They shall talk of them when thou sittest down. When you're sitting in your house, maybe it's good to turn off the movies and the things that they like to play with, electric boxes, you know, all the electronics. All those things, maybe it's good to get rid of some of that stuff. Maybe not to get rid of it completely, but take time to teach them. When our children were growing up, especially the older ones later on, then we got a VCR. But you know, before that, we did things together. Before that, we had any electronics in our house to entertain us. We had time for each other. We spent time. We got down on the floor and we played with the children. And they knew who mom and dad were. There was no babysitters. Those were back. Maybe I'm old fashioned, but I tell you what, it worked. The children, I tell you what, a lot of times We teach them what not to do. But how many times do you teach them what to do? When a child is unhappy, they want something. And I've noticed already, in the busy time in which we're living in this day, you know, the children, they get in trouble a lot of times. I have several grandchildren. By the way, we have 13 altogether. Out of the 13, I think, there's 9. There's 9 here in the South. So that's why Mom and Dad are here, Grandma and Grandpa. We want to see the grandchildren. The older ones are up north in Pennsylvania, but the younger ones are here. The babies are here. But I see a lot of times, you know, when they get a little rowdy and a little ornery, they want attention. And, you know, when you sit down in the middle of a floor and you spend time with them, they settle down. You ever notice that? Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. But they want someone to spend time with them. That's what they want. And try that sometime. You know, it's so easy now to just turn over and go over and put a movie in for them. And so that takes care of it. Then Mom and Dad are free. You know, here not too long ago, there was a young man in Pennsylvania. He had little children, like the ones that are up front here. He says he can't get them to go outside. All they want to do is stay in the house and watch video games, play with video games, and do all that. And he was kind of upset as little boys because he loves to hunt, the dad does. And that really bothered me. So I thought about that, and I asked him, I said, who bought that stuff for them? You think about it. Usually it's Mom and Dad or Grandma and Grandpa that buys stuff for their children. So if you don't like that you have it, you might have to put it up once in a while. But those are things that I think they're coming in our lives right now. They're here. And we need to be wise enough how to train our children. And I think that's what's happening here today. It's the lesson that I'm reading here to you this morning. It's what's happening today. It says we should teach them. What should we teach them? We know what they shouldn't do. But how much are we teaching them about God's word? Is God dear to us? Do you want your children to know this God that you believe in? Do you want them to know it? Then you have to teach them. Christian day school is not enough. Grandma and grandpa are not enough. The children need mom and dad to teach them about God. Not a babysitter. But mom and dad brought them into this world, and they need to teach them diligently. How should you do it? This is what the Old Testament taught us. It says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. What? About God, about his holiness, about his commandments. When they sit in thy house, when they sit around the table, when they're in your house, and when thou walkest by the way, when you go for a walk, when you're walking up and down the road or your field or wherever you're out on the ball field or wherever you're walking with them, talk with them. And I remember very clearly, I think I might have shared that here before, but it was one of my daughters, I think it was Jolene. She was probably 4 or 5 years old, and we were heading for the barn. She always liked to go with me. I think it was her. It was her, Amanda. And we were walking out through the barn, and I remember that beautiful rainbow. That thing was so bright. It's an evening. It's a beautiful rainbow. It even came down and kind of on the fields where we farmed. And I says, look at that rainbow. And she looked at me and she said, what is a rainbow? So I stopped right there between the house and the barn and I explained the rainbow. Right now, God is thinking of the promises that he made to Noah and all the creation. He's thinking about that. When he brings that bow into the earth. And she never asked me again. If you don't teach your children, who will? That is what this chapter is talking about. How much should you do it? When you walk with them, when you sit by them in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and thou liest down in the evenings. Do you bless them? Do you pray for them? A lot of times there's fear in children, maybe because of thunder Or the things that they watch brings fear into their minds. Do you need to pray that out of them? You need to help them so they can sleep a good night's sleep. That is up to mom and dad. They need to do that. And when else? When you rise up. You know, this morning when we all got up, we all slept, I'm sure. When you got up this morning, there's a brand new day. There was no mistakes in it. There's a brand new day. The sun came up. There's a day that has never been before. Brand new. We got a new start. Tomorrow morning, children, when you get up and go to school, there's a brand new day. You're starting all over. Brand new. So you're going to learn new things. When you rise up, talk to them. Take time to get them ready for school. Don't push them out the door. And it says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. And they shall be as frontless between thine eyes. Care for the children. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I took this serious in 1980. That's when we started farming. By the way, back then, we were the young couple that started farming. People would say, oh, that's a young couple that bought the farm down the road. Some of the Wingards knows where it's at, but that was a long time ago, in 1980. And I think it was 81 when I built a structure, a silo, to put feed in for cattle. Some of you may not know what a silo is, but it was a 20 by 64. 20 around, 64 feet high. And I remember very clearly, I wanted to do something. It was a poured concrete. And by the way, I used to build them before I farmed. I used to build those silos. So I wanted to put some sign on that silo. The company put a star in it, a big green star, called Allegheny Star Silo was the name of the company. You've probably seen them in Lancaster area. That's where our company was from. And I worked for that company up in the northern part in Pennsylvania towards Meadville. So I wanted to put something in there to remind me and to my children, everybody goes up and down the road. So I wanted to, I made up my mind I'm going to put a 4x8 cross on that silo. Well, we cut the plywood out of a plywood sheet, and 4x8, and I gave it to the crew, and I says, would you put that behind the form, and form that right into the concrete? It was like about probably a good half inch deep, maybe a little deeper than that. It was formed right into the concrete. When they took the plywood back out after the forms came off on the outside, 60 feet, I kept it down 4 feet, so it was up like 60 feet high. Well, after it was there, it was just a cross in the concrete. Then it was up for someone to paint that thing. How do you get up 60 feet on a ladder? Well, they were still up there with their winch. So I'm the guy that went down over the side with paint. And Martha fixed the decals that I put in there in big letters across God is love. I want to put that on a doorpost. I want the family to see that God is love. And it was just like a year before that is when I rededicated my life, and I was so excited about Christ. I found a new life. I found a new reason for living about Christ. I stepped out of the Old Testament into the new. And I wanted to have something so I could see every day. I could see it every day. When I walk out of the house, it was turned towards the house. I could see that cross. That would remind me every day, and the children that were raised in that home, that God is love. I wanted them to see that. Guess what? Different people own it now, but that cross is still there. People can still see it. Just praise to God. I had to think of that when I saw this verse. and they shall bind them for a sign. Verse 9 it says, and thou shalt write them upon thy posts of thy house and on thy gates. May God receive all the glory for that. I'm not boasting about that at all, but may God receive all the glory. And I hope and pray that many people will come to know Christ because of that cross. Verse 10 it says, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall be brought thee out of the land which I swear unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great godly cities, goodly cities, which thou buildest not. Now, what do you think about that? I had to think already, you know, a lot of times, you know, America, excuse me, was taken away from the Indians. Our fathers came over, ours I think came from Germany, Switzerland, different areas, our background. So we came to America, our forefathers did, because they didn't want the persecution. Here is this generation, the young generation that is here today, it's home. It's called America. That's where we live. I appreciate the country which I live. I really do. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. So are you. That blesses me. But one thing I think that he was talking about here, about Abraham, about Isaac and Jacob, they were promised that by God. And guess what? The next generation to come after that was going to forget about it. How God has given them that country. We're here in America, younger generation, right here, who I'm talking to. What does it mean to take up for where your mom and dad left off? Somebody sweat. Somebody worked hard. Somebody fought the storms of life to give you what you got today. You think about it. You think about it. And I think that's what he's talking about in this verse. If I want to take, you know, 2,000 years back to this day right now, to the 21st century. And it says, and the houses were full of good things, verse 11, which thou fillest not. You moved in your house, an electric pole was already there. The running water was already there. Walmart's already been built. You don't have to go out and farm with a team of horses or with a mule like our forefathers started. You can get into a car, turn the key, and it'll start. If it don't start, you'll get frustrated and blame somebody that left the key on or the lights were on. You can get into the car, drive to Walmart, and get what you need and come back home. If you forget something, you can turn around and go right back. Our forefathers didn't have those privileges. We got so many good things today, people. It's what he's reminding of us of, and I think it was a younger generation that he was talking to here in Deuteronomy. You know, there's wells on your place that you didn't dig. There's vineyards that you go out and you pick apples, you pick grapes. You didn't plant them. They were already there. There was olive trees. You didn't plant them. Now you are eating and your stomach is full. Then what happened? Then there's a sign in the very next verse. You ever notice those signs where it says, be aware of the dog. Be aware of the owner. Do not trespass. One sign I've seen one time, it says, don't be aware of the dog, be aware of the owner. And that was back what we call home. And no, I didn't want to trespass when the owner was there. I would rather meet his dog than trying to break into his place. The next verse, it says, be aware. Be aware. That means pay attention. Take notice what's happening, lest thou forget the Lord. That is what can happen, people, if we have everything given to our laps. It's laying on our laps. is that we may forget God. That brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. It's talking about from the house of bondage. And this morning, as I go to the next chapter, our next book in Hebrews, I just want to bring this to your attention. You remember the day that you did not have peace. Just let your mind take a little trip. When God brought you out of Egypt. Maybe there are some people here this morning. I don't know your life. And I have no reason to judge anyone because I don't. I don't judge people. And you shouldn't either. Because if you do, you will be judged, and that's not fun. So that best thing is not to judge people. The thing of it is, when you were in the world system, you did not have peace. You knew you had enough teaching in your young years that you knew if Christ would come back, where would you spend eternity? You wasn't sure. When you went to sleep, man, if he would come back tonight, while I'm sleeping, if the sound of the trumpet would blow, where would I spend eternity? Be aware that you don't forget God. How about Egypt? The world where you once served. We've all been sinners. The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were born altogether in sin. These dear little children up front, I always had a little problem to understand that, but a lot of these little innocent children up front, that's their sin nature. They need to accept Christ. Probably some of them already have. They need Christ. Egypt and bondage. I tell you this morning, I've been in this world long enough. I know one thing. If you don't have Christ in your heart, you are miserable and you're afraid. That's just how it is. Because if you're not saved when he comes back, you're not going to heaven. That's just as plain as I can make it. And I was taught that from little on, raised in a Christian home. Be aware that you don't forget God. Now, just a couple of things I had to think about when I thought about this verse here. It's about Christmas. I think sometimes it's commercialized too much. I don't know. But I play along with it. I try to be a happy grandpa and a happy dad. I can't say a lot of bragging stuff on that because my family's here. I was almost a Scrooge, right? But anyhow, I was raised different. Yesterday, the family was up at our place in Fairplay, and they doctored the place all up. The lights were shining, all that pretty thing. And I appreciated that. I can truly say I did. And they did a lot of work there. The whole family was there. All but Tommy. We missed him. But he was doing a good thing. So that's okay. But I believe Christmas is for children. I really do. To teach them about giving. I always felt that. It's about the little children. See, I was raised, us children got small gifts. Not very large, not very big. Biggest thing I ever got was a sled because we had a lot of snow. Where I grew up in New York State, we had a lot of snow. All the winter months we had snow. A lot of time we didn't see grass from like last of October until April. Then it snowed in May. I remember that. I got a sled one time. A lot of times there was little things, but I never ever do I remember that Mom and Dad got each other a gift. But they love to sit back and enjoy the children, what little they got, is to open their gifts. And our true Christmas was, I don't know if anybody remembers that or not, the real Christmas that I remember was January the 6th. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Yep, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, good. Some of you remember that. Old Christmas, we called it. That was the true one. Kind of mixed up, huh? So that's maybe my family understands just a little bit sometimes when I don't get into it. I'm not trying to make excuses or anything like that, but I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun time. Man, you get some good food, you know, and all that stuff, you know. But the main theme this morning is is that we don't forget God. Verse 14, it says, and ye shall not go after other gods. I don't want to be negative, but I tell you what, you know, there's so many things, you know, that we can go after. Money is one thing. God and mammon cannot serve them both. Who is your God? Don't forget the true creator. Don't forget him. Who is your God this morning? It surely wouldn't be the God of sports. How come you had to bring that up? You know, someone said not too long ago, you know, what our forefathers built here in this country, it's being ruined and wrecked by talking about porn. The things that's the fastest growing business in America right now. I just heard that. Just makes us sick, don't it? What would our forefathers that sweat, work day and night to get established what you and I enjoy today? If you see it being wrecked by all kinds of sin and trash that's coming to our homes, you think about it. I guess my encouragement this morning, church, would be that during these times that we see these things happen, don't forget God. Remember who he is, that where he brought you from, and don't turn back. Remain faithful unto him who begun a good work in you. He shall finish it for you. Just be faithful. Why? Verse 15, it says that our God is a jealous God. He is a jealous God. Why? I think probably a lot of it is because he made us. And he made no one like you. You look all, what is it, 7 million people. I'm just guessing, I'm not exact on that, but how many millions of people that are in America and nobody looks alike. God made you specially, just the way you are, and nobody looks like you. And you're different. And I'm different. You're specially made by God's hands. So, if you go after other gods, whatever gods that you can think of this morning, it says that the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. He will be angry when you go after other gods. It says that. That is why. And it says you should not tempt him. You should not tempt God. Remember what you've been taught. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. A lot of people argue about that. But, you know, even we call ourselves Christians, we call ourselves Mennonites. You're surprised how little that some parents talk about God, Christ, in their homes. The children don't know. The children don't know. What they pick up in church, what they pick up in school, is basically what they know. And that's better than the world system. I understand that. But it's coming back to mom and dad that we teach them diligently. Now, with all that, that's Old Testament. And I tried to make it sound new. Now let's go to Hebrews to finish up the message here. I'm almost done. Hebrews chapter 10, some of my favorite verses in here. Hebrews 10. Verse 15. 10:15 it says, wherefore, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. What days? The days after Jesus Christ hung on the cross. The days after Christ gave his life for you and I, God's Son. It's why we celebrate Christmas. It's why we have this little child, this baby, that God has given and called his name Jesus. Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. God loves us. He says, this is the covenant that I'm going to make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws. See, God didn't erase the laws. What laws? It says, into their hearts. The new commandment that God gave when Jesus was on the earth, when he preached there in John, he says, I'll give you a new commandment. What is that new commandment? Love each other. Love one another. Christmas is a time of love, not hate. Christmas is a time of love one another. My laws into their hearts and their minds. Think about it. Back then, the Old Testament, they had to work it out. It was for eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Today, you and I as Christians, we love our enemies. We forgive each other. We start again. Give each other a new day, new beginning. If a child fails in his schoolwork, maybe not get a good enough grades, give him another chance. Give her another chance. It's not the end of the world. Try again. Try again. You're not a failure. I raised four children. I've learned one thing. For some, it's easier than others. You cannot take the child with the highest grade and judge all the children. It don't work that way. Some of it's a little bit harder than others. They need more help. And that's the way we all are. Seems like some of us just walk right through it, and the other ones just battle with it. There are sins. Notice that. Once that's on our heart, on our mind. God is writing to things. He's got a lot invested in you and I. That says, in their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. If nothing else should excite you this morning, that should. Sins and iniquities are been forgiven. Wow. By the precious blood of King Jesus. By his shed blood on Calvary, when he walked up the mountain, carrying the cross, Golgotha Hill, carrying that cross and shed that blood for you and I. It says, now through that, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. We've been forgiven. We're free. We've been set free. Our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. If he comes today, we go with him. It's that simple. I have that faith. Through Christ, we know that we have eternal life. In ourselves, no. We cannot boast, but its boasting is in Christ. Verse 18, it says, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Jesus is the end of the offerings. It's no more bulls and goats and sheep. It's no more of that. That is finished. There is no more. It is done. It is finished. When he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. Now we have a new Savior, a new priest. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, what do we have? Notice the rest of the verse. It says, now, having therefore, brethren and sisters, boldness to go where? To enter into holiest by the blood of Jesus. I love that verse. You know, we don't have to be ashamed and go through anyone else. We can, in the mornings or the nights or whenever you want to, you can talk to Jesus. You have right. You have boldness to come to the cross of Christ, of the holies of holies, and talk to him. You have that. And don't let the fear of Satan block that out of you. Don't let him do that, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now we have boldness. How? By a new and a living way, which he has consecrated for us. Through the veil, that is to say his flesh. God made us brand new. While we were scarred with sin, while we were scarred with unforgiveness and murmuring, complaining, all that, God has wiped it away and gave us a new chance, a new life. Now we have the high priest over the house of God. By the way, who is the king here? Who is the king here? Is it Alvin? Is it Tommy? Is it Jerry? I tell you who the king is in the church of Christ is Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the King of Kings. He says, I'm going to build my church. That old Satan, the gates of hell, cannot overpower the church. Jesus bought the church with his own precious blood. It is His church. We are His people. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, thinking evil of each other. Have it sprinkled with the blood of Christ. We talked about the sprinkling this morning in Sunday school, and I thought about this verse right away. There's still a little bit of sprinkling had to come back from the Old Testament. That's awesome. Back in the Old Testament, you know, when there was a time that the people, they would come yearly and remember their sins, just to cover them. And there was a time that they sprinkled the people with blood. Can you imagine that this morning, having blood on us? And he says here, that word came in the New Testament. It says that, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us consider each other. Let us consider one another. Lift each other up. And provoke. That provoke means stir each other. How are you doing? That also means, you know, if a brother needs, sister needs help, that we would encourage them. And we know where to go. We know where to go. We know to go to people that give us encouragement. Consider one another and provoke each other to good works. Encourage each other. Hold on. You can make it. You can do it. Just hold on and remember Jesus is the reason for this season. And the very last verse I want to read to you. There's something you get out of a church. There's something that will bless you, that will help build you, and help you be strong for Christ. This verse, I think, backs it up, and it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Rather you do it in church, however you do it, just to get together in time of prayer, it says, you should not forsake that those assemblies of ourselves together, as manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, all of this, I think when I put it all down, and put it all down in a nutshell, it's all about not forgetting our God. To keep each other accountable, as to be faithful until the end, that we don't miss that beautiful city that God has prepared for each one of us. You can make it. I can make it, but we need each other, amen? We need to encourage one another. We learn from each other. And that's what I like to leave with you this morning, is to don't forget God. Think about Him and His Son, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, how all these things worked out for us. He has done it. And what? How much do we have involved in this? Really nothing. Really nothing. Let's just remember who God is through this Christmas time. How much He loved us. Like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That's a promise. And how do you become a Christian? Romans 10:9 says, I've used this verse many a times. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. People probably say you got to do more, but that's being born again. So that's how you do it. It is so simple. It's so easy, but it's faith. Have faith and don't forget God. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we want to thank You this morning for the power of the Holy Spirit, for helping in this message. This is Your word. We send this word out amongst these people, Lord. And I know that it will accomplish what You want it to. You're in control of your word. And I just pray, Lord, this morning that you would bless this church, especially bless the children, Lord. Just protect them and help them in school and be with them and the teachers and the leadership of this church. I pray that you would just bless and continue to guide. You love these people, Lord. You have given your life for each one of them, and you know them all by name. I just commit these people to you, Lord, and I just pray now that as we separate from here, we pray that you would give us a good afternoon. Be mindful that you love us when we've been forgiven through the precious blood. Lord, help us not to forget about you. Help us to remember that you're the one that holds the keys to our heart. You know the last day that we're going to live. You're a good God. You're a jealous God. You're a God that loves us and made us. You want us to spend eternity with you. I pray through the precious blood that you would bind us, Satan, through your blood in our lives, that we can truly worship you and serve you every day of our lives. And we would ask one more time for forgiveness where we come short of doing your will. Take glory for this service in every part, for we ask it through Christ. Amen and amen.